Then fifthly and lastly, analysis of the six elements. And the practice or method of analysis of the six elements is the antidote for conceit or pride. That is to say, the feeling that I am I, and this is mine, and this is me. And in this practice, in this method, we try to realize that nothing really belongs to us. That we are, in fact, spiritually, if not, though not empirically, just nothing. That what we think of as I is an illusion. It doesn't exist in reality. Now, the six elements of this practice are earth, water, fire, air, ether or space, and consciousness. And here they're arranged in an ascending order of subtlety. And I'll briefly explain the practice. First of all, we sit, of course, as usually for meditation, and we think of the element earth. Earth. The earth upon which we're standing, an earth in the form of trees and flowers and houses and people, and our own physical body. And we think, well, our own physical body is made up of certain solid elements. Where did these elements come from? These elements came from food. Where did the food come from? It came from the earth. So I have, as it were, incorporated a portion of the earth in my physical body. It doesn't belong to me. I just borrowed it, if you like, stolen it for a while. It doesn't belong to me at all. One day I have to give it back. So this is not me. It doesn't belong to me. It goes. So we relinquish, as it were, hold on the solid element in our physical bodies. Then we go a bit further. We think, well, in the world there is so much of water, great oceans and rivers and seas, streams and lakes and rain. And in my body also there's water, there's blood, there's bile, there's pus, spittle and so on. This is a liquid element, but where did I get it from? I borrowed it. I've taken it on loan, as it were, from the water element of the whole world. It doesn't belong to me. I have to give it back one day. This also isn't me. So in this way, I begin to disappear. I begin to vanish. Now we come to a still subtler element, the element of fire. In this stage, we reflect, as it were, that there is in the universe the sun, the center of light, or the source of light and heat for the whole solar system. And we think, we reflect that whatever heat, whatever warmth there is in our own physical body, which we can feel within us, this all ultimately derives from the sun. And that when we die, when the body lies cold and immobile and stiff, all heat will have left it, all heat will have been given back to the earth, given back to the original source of light and heat. Then, the next stage, the contemplation of the next element, which is air. In this stage we reflect that our life is dependent upon air. That is to say, we live and we breathe. We breathe in and we breathe out. And whatever of air there is in us, in our lungs, in the form of breath, this belongs to the wider circumambient atmosphere, as it were. And when we die, when the last breath passes from our body, then we give back that air into the air, and we cease to identify ourselves with it. We cease to think that this is my breath. We're quite dissociated from it. The next of the elements is what is called in Sanskrit and Pali akasha. Akasha is translated sometimes as space and sometimes as ether. It isn't space in the ordinary mathematical sense, we may say. It is rather the living space within which everything lives and moves and has its being. We reflect, we think that our physical body occupies so much space. Our physical body, made up of earth, fire, air, water, it occupies so much space. And when those elements are resolved back into their sources, then there is, as it were, an empty space left which the body formerly occupied. And this empty space merges back into universal space. At this stage, we're dissociated altogether from the physical body. Sixth and lastly, we come to the element of consciousness. At present, our consciousness is associated with the physical body through the five gross physical senses and through the mind. But when the body goes, when we're no longer conscious of the body, when we're no longer conscious of earth or water or fire or air, when consciousness is no longer bound up with these, when it's no longer bound up with physical existence at all, then consciousness dissolves or resolves itself into a higher and a wider consciousness, that which is not identified with the physical body. Here, of course, there are so many levels. We can go to the individual consciousness, free from the body, from that to a wider, more universal, even collective consciousness, from that to what we call the Alaya Vijnana, the repository or store consciousness, and from that we proceed even to the fringes of what we call absolute mind. And in this way, our own petty, small individuality, our own petty, small individual mind is dissolved or resolved into the ocean of the universal consciousness. And in this way, too, we become free from the sense of I and the sense of mine. Now, these are the five basic methods of meditation. And I think we may say it is axiomatic that everybody who takes up the practice of concentration and meditation at all seriously should have some experience at least, if not of all of these, certainly of two or three. If one isn't able to practice all five to the very limit, at least one should have some acquaintance with them, at least with the theory, but one should have a very definite practical acquaintance with and experience of at least two or three out of the five. Usually what we do in our own meditation classes is to start people off with the mindfulness of breathing and then to get them on to the development of love, and only after that to take up, if they feel so inclined, one or another of the three remaining practices. Quite apart from these five basic methods, there are a very large number indeed of more advanced methods, more advanced techniques, which are known in the Buddhist tradition. Techniques, for instance, of mantra recitation, visualization, and so on, but into these it isn't necessary for us to go today. Now, if we look at the five basic methods which I've explained and described, we shall see that they fall quite naturally into two great groups. They fall in the first place into a group concerned with tranquility, a group which helps us to develop tranquility or samatha. And the second group is that of those concerned with the development of insight or understanding of reality. Now, the tranquility group consists of mindfulness, that is to say, the mindfulness of breathing, and the development of love. These calm, tranquilize, and expand the mind. And the insight group consists of the contemplation of impurity, of the 12 links of dependent origination, and of the six elements. This is the insight group, or the group connected with the development of insight. Now, there is obviously some overlapping between these two groups, but broadly speaking, we can say quite definitely that they can be classified in this way.